Here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS. We are early, 7 minutes to the hour. This is the Winfrey conference call. And I welcome you all if you have joined in through the internet. We have the lines wide open over here on the conference call, and we welcome you all.
Probably nobody on BBS yet. It's early.
I don't know. Most likely not.
But that's all right. We'll make up time for that.
Yeah, we'll have to clean up our act a little bit, though.
What I can do, play a little background music.
Oh, no. Hello.
Hey, good evening.
Welcome to the Monday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
Joel in Chicago.
Hey, Joel. How's it going?
It's going well. How's everybody?
Hi, Joel.
Are you
doing well, Joe?
How are you doing?
Well,
everybody surviving this storm.
Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. And it hasn't dropped out again. All right.
Ron, I was going to tell you that the reason everybody recognizes that you're not from there is by the way you drag your wife around.
Hello?
Bye. You don't do that, do you?
How you doing, man?
I just thought of something funny, though.
Yeah, caveman, man. If you didn't drag
caveman,
them around.
Yeah, you know why a caveman drags them by their hair?
Hello.
Good evening. Hi, Rob. This is Marilyn Beck.
Marilyn and Dave.
All right. Getting warm?
No, I should probably call emergency.
All right. Has somebody else joined in? Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello.
I hear Todd?
Yes.
Hi, Todd. Welcome to the call. And I heard a lady's voice, too.
Hello. Hi, it's Francis from Concord, California.
Hi, Francis.
Hello.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And welcome to the next caller, please. Say your name and location.
Hi, Morgan in California.
Hello, Morgan. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Same to you. I hope everybody's well.
Hello, Morgan.
Except Marilyn is cool.
Hi,
Marilyn's old. Marilyn's beyond cool.
Marilyn, why don't you pretend you're a cat and call the fire department and tell them to come and get you down?
Yeah.
Come and get
welcome to the Monday night call. Please state your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Pennsylvania.
Hi,
hello,
Marilyn.
Hi.
Got all the Marilyns.
All the Marilyns are here.
Yeah.
It's our year.
Pardon me?
It's our year.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
And there's a parade, too.
Marilyn, do you have any candles?
Do I? Yeah.
Michigan.
I have a lavender.
Do you have any clay pots? Flower
yes.
pots?
I have lots of clay pots.
Well, there's a way. I've seen it done with tea lights, that they put tea lights on a tray and they put a flower pot over them. And then they put another flower pot over that, and it will help heat up a room.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
It might
I thought you were going to say, put it up on your roof, and it'll melt the snow. The snow will get away from the pipe, and you'll be all set.
That's a true story, too. Which one with that scenario?
Right, Dwayne.
Would you just pretend you're a cat and call the fire department?
I'm on oxygen. I'm going to climb up on my roof.
I said, make a phone call.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, hi. This is Don in the heart of the Big Chill.
All right, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hey.
Are you chilling?
Well, I got both my vehicles running, so that's a good thing.
Good.
I'm sorry, Marilyn. I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't realize that you were trying to be the cat and climb on the call the fire department, would you, Marilyn?
Oh, God.
I'll do it for you if you're really, really
that. I'm embarrassed because I owe them money.
Oh, embarrassment. Hey, I can take embarrassment. Put your clothes on.
Welcome the next person. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Cynthia, Tucson, Arizona.
Hi, Cynthia. Welcome to the call.
Hello. Thanks.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Ice, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Hello, Don.
Hi, everybody. Hey, Don. Who's got the coldest temperature? We got minus 13 here right now.
Whoa.
Any
wow.
of that beat?
Why
got me beat.
Yeah, minus 15 here in Wisconsin, too.
Chilly.
Seemed to be 20 below.
Chilly.
Maybe 27, I heard on the TV, but wait and see.
Wow. What's your record there that you know of?
I think it got below 40 below.
Wow. Cold as I ever remember, it was like minus 20 here, 22 maybe. That was
1978,
very
it was 20 below at least, and sometimes 30 below for a month straight when I lived
wow.
in Minneapolis.
Wow. Welcome to the next caller. Please state your name and location.
Nancy in Michigan here.
Hi, Nancy. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you so much, Heist.
How
cold are you, Nance?
I'm doing fine, staying warm.
Oh, good.
What's your temperature there, do you know?
Negative 16.
Oh. Puts you in second place.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm right on Lake Superior, and the lake actually helps keep it a little bit warmer. Up the
right.
hill, it'll be a couple degrees colder.
Isn't the lake frozen over? Or?
Bless you.
Nope.
Salute.
Good night.
Thank you.
Well,
would you rather be cold? The
big question of the evening is, would you rather be cold or would you rather be radioactive?
I actually take the cold over the heat because you can always put on clothes.
That's right.
Well, you know, I've had 30 days of radiation. I know what it is to be radiated.
Good evening, Terry.
Hi.
Welcome to the call.
Hi, Terry.
Here.
Hi.
Hi, Will.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Terry.
Terry's been complaining because it's 40 degrees in Sedona.
Oh, I got minus 13 right now. I know during the day. Terry's minus 13 right now.
I'm going to
destroy
my trailer.
Obviously, all hell is broken loose.
Hey, Wynn, is your question, what is it reminiscent of? Would you rather be in, you know, hell with a saint or heaven with an idiot?
Heaven with an idiot, isn't that hell?
I mean, where are you going to find a saint in hell?
When hell throws over, we're kind of close.
Said hell with other people.
Well, I think I'm in heaven with a bunch of idiots, but I include myself.
I've worked with some idiots, and sometimes I'd rather be in. It's kind of like being in hell with the same is my choice because I've
right.
been in heaven with an idiot, so it's rough.
There are gray areas.
Hey, let's go beyond heaven here.
Yeah, but Don, we started off Chicago at 6 a.m. We were 10 below. At 7, we were 13 below. At 8, we were 15 below. So, and our wind chill went to about negative 45.
Did you guys get snow?
Yeah.
We didn't get any snow today, but we got, in the past week, we've probably got 2 feet in Chicago.
Yeah, we got now, a lot of snow.
Is there anybody on the call that was too shy to say hello?
Hello.
Hi, Wendy.
Hello.
Hi.
We're good.
There we go.
Bunch hello. Of hello.
Chorus of shy people.
Hello. It was Don, Eric.
We ran out of shy people.
30 hello.
We ran out of shy people, right?
Yeah.
Born really shy.
Are you ready, Terry? No.
No.
I'm not too shy. I'm just shy enough.
Yeah.
I like that.
858.
Sometimes I'm too shy. Hush, hush. Otherwise.
Shy? I like that song.
What is that? Kaja Goo Goo?
Did I hear Julia on the line?
Yeah.
Julia.
I know.
How come you don't ever contact me?
No, and a voice freakazoidal.
I've had a really interesting possibility for you. Okay?
I will call you.
You know, by the time you call me, the possibility is going to run out, so you better hurry.
Oh, great.
Okay.
I don't know if pressure works.
I mean...
That was good.
Smile, Julia. It'll change your brain chemistry.
Yeah.
But I don't like where I am, but at least it's familiar.
All right, I'll give you a call sheet.
All right, it's 6:05.
We are not ready, so we can start. Okay.
Yes, and Wynn and Joel, I need to leave, pick up my daughter. I'll be gone for half an hour.
All right. Well, we will watch.
Okay.
We will try to get along without you. And, you know, it's kind of like that song, How Can I Miss You If You Won't Go Away? No comment. I'll miss you. All right, Uncle.
Queen, I love you.
All right.
You know.
All right. Well, let me see. What do I have to do? I have to mute everybody.
It's done.
You did it. Oh, good man. Okay. Mute. I got to turn on the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
Can I say something right at the start here?
Yeah, well, this is Terry Brown. She's live. Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah. A number of people have gotten snow, and George Norrie on Coast to Coast last night indicated that snow in St. Louis had a Geiger counter reading of 70. He mentioned snow was really, really heavy. So you might, wash off when you get out of the snow. I know some people are out there shoveling it. And so be careful to wash it off and not get too involved with it if you can. And George is doing a program tonight on the latest on Fukushima. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say.
You know, you're sounding more and more like Michael Jackson.
Well, he's not here. He's gone his way.
I better not say his name or he might show up. All right. This is Wynn Free.
Go ahead.
This is Monday, January 6th, 2014. And people are saying this is the year of the big changes. And get ready to fasten your seatbelts. And this is our Monday night Intelligent Infinity call. And I decided that we would do a show tonight continuing our ongoing dialogues with the Elohim on how the universe was created. And I think it's these kinds of questions and answers that they give that, for me, seem to validate way back when that, geez, they must be who they say they are. How could they possibly answer that question? And these are always exciting calls because I don't know what I'm going to ask. I don't know what they're going to answer. And simultaneously, there's stuff that's brought through that's never been in this realm before, as far as I know. And at least not in recorded history of humans. So thank you all for being here and helping to hold the energy, helping to ground the energy. Everybody on the internet right now, we welcome all of you. And I will be checking my emails during the call. So this is not a question the Elohim call. But if you have a question that directly relates to a topic that we explore, then feel free to send it in, winfrey@yahoo.com, or just reply to the email that we sent out to announce the call. And I'll consider asking it. But usually, I like to stay in my own line of questioning because it's kind of like I approach it like a detective. And when they answer one thing, it leads to another question, which then leads to another question, and that's how it gets really creative. We haven't done one of these calls for quite some time. You know, one of the reasons, sometimes people have asked me, more in the past than the present, but sometimes people have asked me, how come we just don't do all Elohim calls and just question them on every call we do? And, you know, the purpose of this call, it's got more than one purpose. And one purpose is that it's important for us to express ourselves. It's important for you to express yourself. We do calls that are open mics. We do calls of different natures. Because, you know what? In this realm, a flow is necessary. And for whatever reason, when one kind of does the same thing over and over and over again, the edge gets lost. So it's like keeping things fresh, keeping things creative, keeping the energy moving, and that's what makes it interesting. And keeping everyone a chance themselves to express in the context of what we're doing. You know, when I just encourage people that when we have a Wednesday call where you guys submit questions, if you've never submitted a question, no matter how dumb, as long as it's sincere, no matter how dumb it might be, you should ask it. You should ask it because I think I said this before, but I'll say it again. It's one of those important things. When Terry first started channeling and the voice came through that said they were the Elohim, I was skeptical. And one of the things I did, which I don't believe I did this with Daphne, one of the things I did was to ask a couple people I know for a question that I could ask on their behalf, or if I had a question, ask them for permission. And I would ask, I probably had 5 or 6 or 7 different people like that in the first couple of months that Terry was channeling. And the first thing was, is I was amazed at how they could tune into the person. And they could see patterns that I knew were there. They were deep patterns, but I knew the pattern was there. And they hit it right on the head, I believe, almost every time. And then I asked them a question, and I said, aside from the verbal answer to the question, was there any benefit for a person asking a question to them? And their answer was, when somebody asks a question, they have to move into the space of the person's energy field to look at them to answer the question. And that when they do that, once they retreated, they left a trail. They left an energy track. And that if the person chose to look for it, they could follow that trail energetically and have more of a connection with the higher realms. So, well, it's such a rare opportunity. You know, some of you realize, some of you know this, that you can't really place a value on some of the things that happen on these calls and on some of the interactions where one short session, one question, changes your life forever. And so it's worth asking a question on the Wednesday. Take advantage of that. You know, I give priority to people that never asked a question before. So if you're listening and never asked a question, ask a question. Even if you think it's a dumb question, if it's something, you know, the best questions are ones about questions about your own life and your own obstacles, because sometimes they will give a key that will switch that obstacle or take it out. And, you know, there's been times when amazing things have happened because people have asked a question. And so take advantage. We're going to go into this right now. Maybe I should just, in case anyone's listening, this is probably a series of about six different Mondays we've done over the past couple of years. And if you like the style of it, if you like the information that comes through, you can go to the Spirit Channel, which is our archive site, thespiritchannel.net, and you can do a search for how the Elohim created the universe. And if everything is working correctly, you should get that series of calls coming up on the search. And, you know, giving you like the 2-minute bringing things up to date. Originally, there was nothing. Nothing became aware of itself. That first awareness learned that it could subdivide its energy, kind of like an amoeba. And it was lonely, so it wanted others. So we kept subdividing it. And the first of the subdivisions were the Elohim. And now their population grew to the point where there were probably millions of them, but they were just energies and there was no universe. And then it was a giant experiment. They learned how to create energies, frequencies together that will create points in time, space that was the beginning of the universe. Like for a universe to exist, there had to be both time and space. Time and space are not part of nothingness. So it's about creating time and creating space. And we've had lots of conversations. Then it was about creating DNA and creating life. And, you know, we've jumped around. This has not exactly been totally linear. And there's places where I have holes that I've never asked, how do we get from there to there? Like, for example, they explained to us the amoeba was the first life form they developed, and then there's a jump start to humans, and Elohim souls that came into this realm and occupied bodies, and then because free will was given, then there became the development of what we call the negative, because the negative had learned to take energy from other beings underneath it or around it. So there's lots of holes and areas to explore. Sometimes they don't want to answer a question, and that's okay. And they have their reasons, and so we'll just work around that. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present? Do we have Terry unmuted? We don't hear anything yet. Okay. Now I got to explore and see what's going on. Just a moment. We are walking through the house. And did your phone go off? You lost your phone? Why don't you just push this little button on the top of your headset? Ouch. Say something.
Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
I hear you. No, I don't hear you. Okay, guys, this is all part of the show. We're about to have the creators of the universe address us, and Terry lost her phone. I'm glad they have a sense of humor. You got your phone?
Yeah. Okay. Now it's on me.
How come I don't hear you?
Yeah.
No. Push your headset again.
Like this?
Now I hear you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Good.
All right. All right.
Give us a moment. We are ready to start.
Okay.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is the 6th of January, 2014. And we are multidimensional. We are with each and every one of you at the same time who wishes to have us with you. We
are able to do more than one thing at one time. And it is our joy to be with you and to be able to connect. And as we look at each and every one of you, we see that there is a great variance of temperature in the different areas where you are. And we connect with each one of you and are available to answer questions. Do you have questions?
Are you aware of our topic tonight?
Give us a moment. Yes, we are.
Okay.
Is concerning the creation of the universe. And
yes.
There is a question of what happened between the creation of the amoeba and the creation of mankind, as it is a very big jump that has gone from one to another. Keep in mind that the first creation was not of the manifest, the hard manifest, the third dimension manifest. It was the manifest within the mind, within the creation of the mind of what visually, auditorily, all of the sentence, the senses, what could be created, what could be brought together that could be a housing, focusing mechanism for mankind. And it started with a thin, not a solid, projection, a projection of energy. And the energy then was able to capture the essence within itself, within the projection, and to make it into a uniform energy that could then begin to scent, could begin to have smells, could begin to hear the auditory vibration. Mind you do not need ears to hear. You do not need eyes to see. As when you are out of your body, you still have these senses. The body merely magnifies them and focuses them for the whole unit of the body to act as a whole in connection with this help. Are you muted?
Yeah, I would assume that the Elohim, when they were pure energy forms, were also in a state of creating themselves and each other for quite some time before there was even anything physical. Am I correct in that? And can you explain anything of that part of evolution?
There is some physicality to the manifest outside of this third dimension. The light body is a precursor to the physical body, and the light body has all of the senses. This
has developed over time, and this modifies as someone experiences life in the third density.
When a galaxy was first created, and I remember it was referred to as a spitting out of energy, we think of galaxies as being huge. When a galaxy got all created, and I believe it started as one creation that fanned out, did it seem huge to you?
At the first creation of the galaxy, it did not seem huge. Size is relative. So it was as if it were a toy, as if it were a top. And we were bigger than that. And so size is relative.
Did the galaxy get bigger, or are the proportions still where you're much bigger than a galaxy?
We were much bigger than the galaxy. Then
and you still are.
We and you have the ability, and everyone on the line, everyone has the ability to get big and to get small. This is one of your abilities. You have the ability to expand greater than a galaxy or smaller than a molecule. It is a projection that you have the ability to make.
Do we do this when we're on our Sunday calls?
Some of you do this when you are on the Sunday calls. You do this, Jerry does this, on the Sunday calls, so that some of the areas of Earth that are looked at on the calls are looked at from a vantage point of being very much larger than the area one is looking at. However, if one looked at it from the other perspective of being very small, then these things would seem immense that you look at.
Mm-hmm. So, as I've noticed the progression in the Sunday calls, when we first started, let's say when we do the Ring of Fire, it felt like going across through the map was a huge thing to do, and we would do it, and we still do it sometimes, like piece by piece, going up the coast, and going up the coast of Mexico, and going up California, et cetera, and going around, and trying to address each little piece of the coastline. And it seems like when we do it now, our group is I just want to get a confirmation of this. Our group has, and ourselves have learned how to hold a wider energy field, and we can do the whole thing more simultaneously.
Yes, there is an ability to look at the whole of the area at one time and to hold the energy of the whole ring of fire and to project the calmness over it, to project the love, and to help strengthen the grid. It is able to be done in one book, or to look at each particular area as one narrows their focus, much like
a camera lens.
Do you have to keep flowing into the universe for the universe to keep working?
No.
So the universe, the universe will continue to work whether you are flowing into it or paying attention to it or not.
That is correct.
Although it probably won't work as well.
Well, we attempt to harmonize and to bring love light into areas of disharmony when it is open to it.
And it seems to me that there's only one energy field, and ultimately you're the same energy as us, but we're just way more contracted in general. But when we touch energy fields, you know, there was when in one of our early conversations about how the universe was created, I remember you talking about what a joy it was to have two Elohim creating spinningness, and where the spinningness intersected, it created a new point in time-space or space-time, and that was an anchor point for part of the universe that was developing. If I have that correct, that's the way I remember it. Is that somewhat in the ballpark?
When we look at toroid energy, of which we are all made, then there are nuances, variations, missing frequencies, added frequencies, that create all the differentiation. So, at heart, we are all one. However, as we integrate into a particular location and spinningness, then that focuses us into that area.
But to create a point in space-time, could one Elohim create a point in space-time by himself, or did it take multiple Elohim to create a point in space-time?
When we are one, we would need to multiply our focus into various points at the same time to create this, which then begins to create othernesses. As the othernesses develop and we search for the words, the othernesses develop and create their anchor points in space-time, then there begins to be creation of new space-time and localized focusing of consciousness.
So, were the initial points in space-time alive? Did they have awareness and consciousness? Could they immediately create from where they were? Or was that something that was added as things developed?
As things developed, different developments manifested. There were not uniform awarenesses. There tended to be consciousness focused and not aware of itself, but simply conscious of the surroundings. Consciousness to be aware needs to divide in that to be aware, you need to have something to be aware of. Self alone is self alone without looking without and without seeing itself. When you have two, you can get the reflection of yourself within the other.
So there's an inherent built-in quality in creation for everything to want to create around itself so it gets a reflection. Kind of downloaded into this realm, why parents want to have children, or people want to have relationships and lovers. It's defining yourself, being aware of yourself by the reflection that's created around you.
That is correct.
Yeah. But then people start thinking they are the reflection. They think. They don't realize, they lose the idea that there's more to who they are than just the reflected light, and it becomes a wall of mirrors. How does one reconcile that?
When one looks around them, they see othernesses, and they get confirmation of their own existence by the othernesses around them. There is something within all that is. A plasma field is within all that is. And as a person vibrates, the vibrations reflect in the plasma field, and they can begin to create within their sphere.
When a human contemplates and creates, is he generating frequencies?
Yes. And by the frequencies he generates, it will determine what he creates, what he brings into himself, the materials he creates with the frequencies that he creates with, and what he gets as a final result.
There's something called the Schumann resonance, which people call the frequency of the Earth. Is that the frequency of the Earth's creation?
It is the frequency that the Earth vibrates at and is beneficial for Earth, for life in the Earth plane, and the building and connection of the individual with the surroundings. They are connected and they are brought within the same resonance all people are, which helps keep the people in sync to help them create society.
Does each human have a unique frequency, or do they vary?
Each human has a unique set of frequencies which make up his light body, and which his physical body operates at.
And are those frequencies connected to the DNA?
Yes, the DNA is one of the generators of these frequencies.
And when you have latent, unopened strands of DNA, does that unopened strand have a frequency that, if it was exposed to, would help open it up?
Yes. In the interactions in the life of an individual, depending upon how open she is.
Now, do the frequencies...
strands can begin to vibrate and open up new gifts.
Mm-hmm. Now, do the frequencies have to come from another person? Can they come from the higher realms? Do they come from the earth? How does the... people are interested because we've told them that they have to open up their fourth strand of DNA to graduate this realm. And I've said many times my own hypothesis, but I've never asked it. These are frequencies that have to come in and vibrate. And so can they come in from another person, from the higher realms, from amorphous light energy? How do the frequencies get into the DNA so they can open it up?
They can come in from all of those sources. They can come in from the star body. They can come in from the surroundings. They can come in from the configuration of the individual with his astrological chart. These can all help resonate that individual in accordance with the lessons that he is beginning to open to learn, or to simply vibrate over and over with a repeating pattern, life after life, and attempt to move through that, those frequencies, to bring breakthrough. So the individual is able to take advantage of more frequencies so that he is able to get fulfillment from the fruits of his own life.
Mm-hmm. Since we're talking about frequencies, frequencies have very specific values. You could say the frequency of AC house current is 60 cycles per second. The frequency of light is such and such. Every color has a frequency. And I know people might be thinking, I'm thinking, we talk about the frequencies from another person, from the higher realms. Can you artificially produce frequencies and assign a value to different areas of your body that would open the body up? Say the heart was 6,232 cycles. Is that possible?
Robotically, to create a frequency may help to put that frequency within the body sphere so that the body can begin to recognize and help resonate at that frequency. For instance, if someone is lacking a strong foundation chakra, they may be lacking the note of C in their matrix. They may not resonate with the note of C. They may dislike the note of C. Getting a tuning fork or a singing bowl and putting the tone of C into their space may help them to some degree to establish that frequency. However, the reasons why they have not established a strong grounding frequency can help them more as they explore what it means to have a strong grounding frequency, what it means to have a strong foundation, what it means to have the ability to sexually express themselves with another person and to receive love and to give love. This is a more a fuller spectrum of what they need to get the chakra working rather than merely to have them listen to the note of C or E or the missing note, the weak note in their matrix.
Now, we're talking about audio frequencies right now.
That is correct.
And,
that is correct.
Some people, there's also the Rife machine frequencies. There's people that do color therapy where they have color frequencies. How does that fit in to this line of questioning?
These things will all help, however, to explore the reason that they are missing the frequencies and the colors within their own matrix to bring the fullness of life with the expression of those chakras into one's life will then establish the strong connections that are needed, the supporting connections of the foundation chakra, the sexual chakra, the power chakra, all support the heart chakra. So that when one is supported fully, then one finds it easier to open one's heart.
So in other words, if one does not have feel secure, if one feels that's the root chakra, security, then that would impact the heart chakra. Or if one is denying themselves sexual expression, that could affect the heart chakra. And if one is disempowered and doesn't know how to express power, that can affect the heart chakra. Yes?
That is correct.
So when one thinks about opening their heart, they also have to think about opening the other three lower chakras. Because that's
this
the foundation.
This will help them greatly in the opening of their heart, as then they will be accepting the support from their full matrix.
Mm-hmm. You know, to graduate this realm, does one need all those chakras open, plus the heart? Or can a person kind of be in the heart and still graduate?
one can be in the heart and still graduate.
But it's not easy to be in the heart. It's not easy to be in the heart without some support from the other three chakras.
In the third density, that is correct.
In the third density. In,
yes.
In the higher densities, that may not be true, right?
In the higher densities, it is easier to be in the heart, as the heaviness is not there. There is more light in the higher realm. And that is supporting.
When you say there's more light, could we interpret that to mean that people, beings, just see each other more clearly? They don't seem separated from each other. They automatically tune in.
No, they are physically expressing more light in their matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Their matrix are resonating with light.
Mm-hmm. And the last question, we're running out of time. We've got about 2.5 to 3 minutes. As you guys can see, this is a very... I went off topic and then kind of, but it was very interesting stuff. So, in the creation of the universe, we know there's a multiplicity of dimensions, and the dimensions are all interlocked by something that people call sacred geometry. And can you give a little explanation of how that works in 2 minutes?
Each density, as you get into the higher densities, carries more light. As you get into the higher densities, there, at the top, everything is simply one. Then, as you move down into the 11th dimension, the beings are energy beings and are working together. And the Elohim are in the 10th dimension. And there is pure love in that dimension. As you move down the dimensions, there are different functions within the dimension. Models are made for life in some of the dimensions. As you move down, there is more structure. There, in the 5th dimension, there are beautiful cities. There are beautiful relationships. And things shine like light. In the 4th dimension, there is the heavenly realm, where there is more light. And there are rivers and streams. There are houses. And there is much help for individuals to move from the 3rd dimension to the 4th dimension, to debrief them from their life. That is a little bit of an explanation.
Thank you so much. Well, we have about 70 seconds. Would you like to say anything in closing? Thank you so much for being with us and answering all of that.
We are delighted to be with each and every one of you, and we hold frequency of love for you. And we are there with you. As you have undertaken a difficult task to move through the third density, thank you.
Thank you. And on that note, we will open up my computer, which went dead. And here we go. Let's see here. And we are...
I'll unmute Evan.
There we go.
Bye, Wynn.
Everyone's unmuted? Okay, just curious. Did you guys find that interesting?
Very interesting.
Thanks,
okay.
Winfrey.
Great. Hi, Ariel.
Hi.